All right, guys, go ahead and turn on your mics. Let's get you a level here. Are you guys doing? Are you guys going to do video or no?
I'm prepared to do video. This is Naomi.
Okay. You are or not?
I am. I'm on video right now. I've arrived video.
Yeah. Well, go ahead and. Yeah. Well, I'm not seeing anything. I just see your names.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Okay. Video.
Ernie, this is Mark. I'm not. Where do you click on for video? I'm not. This is new to me.
Hell if I know. I think at bottom left, it'll say start video or something. Naomi, tell them where you clicked, because I'm not even sure.
Okay, on your...
So on the bottom bar, it's...
There you go. There it is.
Hey, we survived. You can hear me, though, all right?
Yeah, we're good. Mark, how are you?
Ernie, it's been a long time. How you doing?
I get in calls from all my old friends and political, and they're going, is this it, Ernie? All that stuff you've been going on about, is this it? I go, yeah, this is it.
I think I've known you for 30 years, Ernie. I think this is the first time I've ever seen you in a tie.
I've always been, whatever, I don't care. You know, it's just these,
it makes it worth it.
Yeah, well, yeah, you got cover. You got a couple people here to help you. You know, this is, okay, let's talk about this. We come in and how much time? We got like 2 minutes before we start. And so we're good, right, Donna? Everything's?
I restarted the video, yeah.
Well, I already restarted it.
Well, okay, well, whatever.
Well, then you jacked up the, I can push the button. Okay, let me pull you guys here. What we're going to do is, what do you think we should do? I want to, of course, talk about Arizona and how this thing is playing out. But on coronavirus and its consequences and policy response, public health, the economy, and daily life. And my thing is, you know me, show me the stats. I don't believe a damn thing you guys do anyway, you know, the government. And I'm finding, you know, they're just throwing everybody in a diagnosis of he died with coronavirus, and we justify and send us ventilators, you know. Oh, and by the way, I need a bunch of trillions of dollars and pay off our pension funds that are going to crap, which my view has been this. The inevitable financial crash was not caused by coronavirus. It needed it to justify it so we get a bunch of money. That is, you know, that's kind of been my thing. And in the end of this thing, we're going to find out real numbers. And it's going to be like a 9/11 thing. They're always BSing us. So whatever numbers you guys come up with, whatever policy, whatever, you know, you're going to have to convince me that, I mean, I'm sure there's some there, you know, the buildings, you know, got hit, you know, by a plane. But I mean, you know, what was really going on behind it. So we'll talk about that. Okay, the other guy, is he trying to call in on this Ernie?
This is the Onion News Network. And now,
from
the studios of Freedom's Phoenix,
okay, well,
Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
Declare your independence from here in Sandcock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the beautiful studios of Freedoms of the Nest, freedomsphoenix.com. See, Mark, you get me singing, man. You got, you get that? Yeah, it's all good. Don't worry about it. So this is Mark Flatton. I've known for like 30 years. He was a Senate press room reporter for whatever down there. One of the guys that, oh, you know, it's a freaking Ernie again, man. You know, damn Ernie. He's Ernie being Ernie. So I'm just going, yep, Ernie being Ernie. But a lot of the stuff has always been this kind of flimsy answer, what's the question? Well, Mark would be always, yeah, but what about and what about and what about? Well, we got a lot of what abouts. So what about today? Now, we have also Naomi Lopez. They're all from the Goldwater Institute. We're going to talk about the coronavirus and its consequences on policy response, public health, the economy, daily life. Arizona has always been kind of different. And a lot of it probably stemmed from a lot of our activism and so on in the 90s. We were like questioning all this crap. We're like, no. Explain it to me. And of course, libertarian candidates, we would get probably more than most states. We'd be involved in the debates. We'd, because we were real buttheads about it. And we put up a lot of signs. We got to have our say. Now, a lot of times the press would be, you crazy libertarian, you crazy. All of a sudden, they start to find out that you weren't that crazy, and people are a lot more supportive of it. So we create a parade on whatever issue it was, you know, freedom of something, you know, drug freedom, gun freedom, freedom, property right, taxes, freedom. And then all of a sudden, there's some Republican, maybe Democrat, run, jump in front of that parade and pick me. I'm for the freedom guy. And whenever we'd run, 2 years later, they'd be saying the same stuff we were saying previously. I go, all right, it's a general public opinion thing. When you get the public behind or a concept that you can't undo it, how do you unlearn the truth? Arizona has been a little bit different, but we got the Californication of being, you know, invaded by and the mindset of, you know, from other places. But I've been pretty happy with, you know, the mindset from the government that, you know, that I don't care. It's not about that. That was just a mechanism for us to get to the minds of the people. Then the internet hit. Freedom's Phoenix was a concept in our heads back in 96. When video hit the internet, we hit it hard in 05. Freedom's Phoenix has got like 400,000 headlines. Just a nice little archive there of all this stuff. As we're, that's why you see, Ernie, I can't read 50, 70 headlines a day. And I go, that's not why it's there. I mean, yeah, you can go through it and you get, I'm going, but it's the archive. It's all what they did. Now we got interplanetary file sharing, permanent record of, and it's never going away. So, FYI, Mark, Naomi, whatever you say is forever and always. It's not going anywhere. So I just, you know, want you to know, all right? So let's go ahead and do a little introduction here. Mark Flatton is Goldwater Institute's national investigative reporter. He's reported extensively on how bureaucratic procedures and overcaution at the U.S. Food and Drug Administration can end up costing more lives than it saves. And he's written today about seeking a coronavirus cure instead of a regulatory stamp of approval. He can speak about what happens and innovative new treatments. And on. So we got that from Mark. That's cool. Now we have Naomi Lopez is the director of healthcare policy at the Goldwater Institute. She has written about the role of telemedicine can play in treating potential coronavirus cases and how too much regulatory red tape has kept public and private testing kits and labs from being used early in the crisis. She can also talk about effect on U.S. public health. Now, this is kind of boiled down to my bumper sticker of freedom's the answer, what's the freaking question? And whatever is going on now, I'm not feeling free. You know, Naomi, start off for us, will you please? The lockdowns, is this a good idea or not?
Well, I actually work in the area of healthcare policy, and I'm not an expert in epidemiology. I do think that, you know, we are going to see hotspots emerge over time. And I think that you know, a measured response makes a lot of sense. As soon as testing becomes more widely available, I do think that you will see states loosen the requirements that are currently in place.
The testing, I haven't seen any that they're really accurate. I have experts on saying these tests are BS. They're either doing it wrong or they tell you the wrong thing. You know, they're not giving, what you really need is you have to test for the antibodies. Either they have it or they're immune or they're not. And I'm going, okay, well, where's these? It's like I'm every time I scratch the surface or get some expert on, they're going, nah, that's not there. It's all theater. I don't know. Have we seen theater like this before, Mark? I mean, you know, how are you feeling? Is this a legitimate, real, accurate depiction of what's going on and the base of response on?
Well, what seems to be happening, just to kind of build on what Naomi said, is what we have is hot spots in the country. Clearly, New York is in meltdown. They're having that's where I don't know what is it almost half of the problem exists. We're seeing hot spots in New Orleans. We're seeing them. We saw one earlier in Seattle. We don't necessarily see a nationwide crisis on our hands. And I think that's the difference that we get is, do you approach a public health emergency nationally, or do you approach it locally? And I think that's what people are struggling with. A lot of parallels to 9/11. We had terrorist attacks on 9/11 in New York, D.C., and in Pennsylvania. That doesn't mean that Al-Qaeda was gunning for folks in Laramie, Wyoming. So our response to 9/11 was different. And there's an argument to be made that maybe the response here doesn't have to be one size fits all. What's needed in New York is not necessarily needed in rural Idaho or in Montana or in Phoenix, Arizona, for that matter.
We had that liaison to Ridge, the Homeland Security guy here. And I can't remember his name. Anyway, he came on my show. You know, I was on Terran Radio downtown, and he came on the show, and they were talking about it was when Napolitano and them, they were searching all the cars' trunks going in the Sky Harbor. Remember that? And it shut down, and they freaked out. You know, well, he building up to that, he comes, oh yeah, we got terrorists, you know, right here in River City. I mean, you got terrorists, and he was talking about in Miami. And they were getting ready to shut down the whole country because they had some kind of Miami. I'm going, what does Seattle give a crap what's happening in Miami? How is this? You're not allowed to ask that question. You know, I mean, it was just a global response to any excuse anywhere. And I see the same thing here. And when we look at it, starting to be citizens are starting to go out with their camera phone and they go to the hospitals in New York. This is like last couple of days. Empty, 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 empty. You go to the Mercy Care County, whatever, it's busier. There's not this dead bodies lined up like cordwood, you know, that they're talking about. I mean, if there is, there is. I mean, we're going to know. Now, of course, I have some CNN picture of in a refrigerated truck kind of thing, but we'll get the numbers. We'll start to see. Oh, we had these tens of thousands. Well, all of a sudden, you'll see nobody died from heart disease. Nobody died from, you know, diabetes for a certain amount of time. They're all coding for the COVID-19. So I'm. What are you looking for? Is it echo chamber media? You're seeing what's on Fox and CNN, MSNBC, or is there some other metric that you're looking at?
Well, for me, what I'm, I guess, looking at is once we start getting more testing, how much of this is we really don't know numbers now. We act like we do, but we really don't. In fact, I saw an epidemiologist talking on the news the other day about the deaths in Italy. They have this.
Yeah, we're going into break. This is a good thing to pick up. When we come back, is where are we getting our information? We're going to find out. From the sixth letter of Captain Mark. A pirate's life is characterized by voluntary interactions. Unfortunately, the Crown presses everyone into involuntary servitude. Landlubbers believe slavery was abolished years ago, but the Crown still claims to own us when it crimps us into service against our will. Given sufficient ambition, it would gladly draft thousands of hapless victims to kill or be killed. It's simply slavery by another name. Landlubbers are routinely commanded to serve the so-called justice system in jury duty. But before you swell with civic pride, consider that how you feel is irrelevant to the Crown. You will appear as ordered or face punitive measures. The Crown insists that you participate in your own oppression. A jury summons provides pirates with a unique opportunity to obstruct injustices. A juror can vote not guilty, even if it's proven the law was violated. A juror can acquit for any reason at all, and not even a judge can reverse that verdict. Receiving a jury summons is basically winning the sedition lottery. But if you reveal that you know this during jury selection, you'll probably be dismissed. If the Crown foolishly crimps a pirate into jury duty, it behooves the pirate to conceal their intention to nullify unjust laws. If a master takes 100% of your labor, it's called slavery. But if they only take 50%, they call it taxation, a difference of degree, not of kind. Whether the Crown claims a fortune or a cent is irrelevant. Most of all, a slave owner desires contented slaves, meaning thoughtless ones that accept their bondage. These house slaves see no contradiction in being drafted in a war to end slavery or summoned to a jury to prosecute tax evasion. An ideal slave knows no higher call than the master's will. The Crown's highest ambition is that its slaves revere the authority that subjugates them. But the Crown does not own me. I will not surrender my time and treasure to the Crown's ambitions. Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com. Pirates, man. Oh, that's another thing, Mark. You're going to start seeing more pirates. Piratswithoutborders.com. I want to get me some. You know, this is...
Yeah, I want to hear a little more about this love bus you were talking about in the previous show.
Well, you guys know that I did the Ron Paul Lovolution, right? That logo.
Yeah.
You know,
Yeah. So
that was, you know, started here. And in the 06 campaign, when I ran for Secretary of State, I had, you know, the V for Vendetta. You're still voting with the V for Vendetta, you know, that kind of thing. And in a bumper sticker, it had some extra white space that's mine, damn it. I'm going to put something on there. So I did that reverse love, Lovolution thing, and that became so popular. That was the marketing for that. Everybody had to have it tattooed on their forehead. I mean, it was amazing. So I go, okay, so when Ron ran, I go, I know what I'm doing. We're doing Ron Paul Lovolution. Here we go. Well, what made that so successful was staying out of the way. It was just how to make signs. I didn't care what you did. We're going to promote and keep them up on the podium. Everybody was worried about, you know, precinct committee and all that kind of crap. And I'm going, nope. I just want to keep them on the podium so they can't take them off. Well, we were successful in doing that in 8 and 12. And then this, in October, I decided that we were going to, you know, tour the country, and I wanted to document and take my own advice and pay off all bills and get out of debt and taxes and whatever and get small and take advantage of the next downturn, because I knew it was coming. It was going to be 09 all over again. You know, I'm like, yeah, here we go. So our kids, they all bought homes up to like 11. My Donna's a real estate agent, and they made bank. They sold down their rent and waiting for the next downturn. I go, well, I'm going to do that. I want to be able to come after, you know, getting small, and then we'll buy some desert land, and I'll build and kind of rock and roll, and I'll retire semi, whatever. So then the opportunity came. We had a lot of patrons and so on that said, we want you to do for the vaccine issue what you did for the Lovolution. And I go, I know how to do it. Here we go. I'll tell you about it next break. Here we go.
.fm. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. 2800, and now, Ernest Hancock.
Stop me, cause I'm having a good time, having a good time.
You shouldn't start leaping through the sky like a tiger, defying the laws of gravity.
And a couple other laws.
Passing by.
Like Lady Godiva. I'm gonna keep my clothes on. Oh, for Mark. Yeah, I'll keep my clothes on this time. You know, we'll do that. Do I got to be crazy? That'd be crazy, Ernie. Well, you know, crazy Ernie is always, there's a reason to my madness. And there's a, you know, Mark will tell you back in the kind of man, I always got something. I always got what I wanted. Biggest thing, Mark, what was it? This is it. I wanted to make sure they said it. They got to say it. Say it. They go, well, you're not going to get a judge. I go, I don't care. I just want them to say it. You know, say it. Get on record. Well, that's the record's happening now. And I'm wanting to know, and Mark was starting to get into it, the record. I mean, you're an investigative reporter. You're getting, and I remember Charles Goyette. He was just on yesterday. And he goes, yeah, it was the echo chamber. Whenever he go to cover these things, all of a sudden, all the reporters put down everything and they watch what Larry King was saying or something. Then they all repeat whatever he said. It was just an echo chamber. While around them, the story's in the back room right over there of them doing whatever. He's going, what the heck is... So I need to know, where are you getting your information and how do you validate it? And do you change later? Or do you go, oh yeah, I always knew what was going on. You know, what are you looking at that gives you confidence to report on?
Well, the reality is we really don't know right now, and the smartest people on this really don't know right now, because for a lot of reasons. One, we don't have widespread and reliable testing to see how many people actually do have the virus. So, you know, if 1,000 people die and 10,000 are infected, you've got a 10% fatality rate. If 1,000 people die and 1,000,000 people are infected, it's going to be a lot different. I won't do the math in my head because I'd probably get it wrong. I did see some discussion with some epidemiologists talking about even the death rate, the deaths in Italy, because people were dying so fast, and they tended to be very vulnerable populations, the very elderly people with severe underlying medical conditions, that if someone's got kidney failure and they get coronavirus and they die, did the kidney failure kill them or did the coronavirus kill them? In some cases, we don't know that. Certainly the coronavirus didn't help. But right now, we just don't know. We think we've got some direction. But until, like you say, unless you test everyone in the world, which is not going to happen, we're not probably ever going to know what the real numbers are. It's clear that this is a very, very dangerous disease. How dangerous, I guess we really don't know at this point.
You know, the United Kingdom, they started off with, hey, we're just going to, everybody, you know, be polite and we'll get herd immunity by surviving it and keep calm and carry on kind of thing. And then all of a sudden they got the memo, oh, hell no, you're not allowed to do that. So it is required frenzy. And I'm like, I've been through this before. I'm old enough. I mean, you remember me when I was, you know, 30-year-old kid, you know? And my opinion has not changed since then. It is the same. They're lying because their lips are moving. And I'm just, I can't keep track of how many times I've been lied to. You know, it's, my lifetime, it's, hell, even JFK, RFK, Martin Luther King, Watergate, OPEC crap, Iran-Contra, Ruby Ridge, Waco, Oklahoma City, 9/11, dot-com bubbles, SNL scam. I mean, I can't even keep track. The Big Short, I mean, it's every single time they're lying sacks of snot. And on Freedom's Phoenix, we have uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That was the slogan that came to mind. I go, uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies.
Well, Ernie, let me give you one example. And it's what I've been writing about is this whole issue of whether chloroquine or hydrochloroquine is an effective treatment against coronavirus. Fact is, we don't know. But what you see from a lot of folks in the regulatory community is the phrase, that's not a proven treatment. And there's no proof that it works. Well, you got to understand where that's coming from. It's not a proven treatment because the FDA has not said it's a proven treatment. Whether it works or not is an entirely different issue. In the FDA's world, if a drug, and we still don't know if chloroquine's going to cure this, but in the FDA's world, if a medicine cures someone, or substantially reduces the symptoms, that's considered anecdotal evidence. It doesn't really mean anything. It doesn't mean anything until they've done widespread statistical studies on a controlled group of test patients, which could take years. And the problem is, yes, they're right. It's not quote-unquote proven. That doesn't mean it does or doesn't work. It just means that the FDA hasn't put their stamp of approval on it. We don't have 5 years to find out through these statistical studies, whether this is going to...
This is where freedom comes in. I have the freedom to try. I don't watch a lot of this because I don't care. I don't believe anything. But there was one exchange to where Trump gets up there and he goes, yeah, it's got, you know, some doctor, they think it's good. We should try it. What the heck? Try it. Give it a try. And then Anthony Fauci, which I have a lot of doctors and specialists come on, and they hate Anthony Fauci. Man, he's been a scumbag since 84 of doing this kind of crap for the deep state of whatever the hell. Okay. So they got all kinds of, you know, bad things to say about him. But he gets up there and he's going, oh, no, President, you don't know what you're talking about. Shut up. You know, the timeline is the virus is not yours. And we kind of, this is only anecdotal and we're not going to. He's just taken away my freedom to try.
Well, Ernie, that's not exactly what Dr. Fauci said. What Dr. Fauci said is it may work. It hasn't been scientifically proven. Those two things are not mutually exclusive. And he did make that point that yes, it's entirely possible that
not the first day. He was definitely, man, hell no. Hell, the first days he was, the pressure came days later. Even after he was not up on the podium anymore for a couple of days. It's like, I could kick your butt off.
Again, you know, people tend to conflate it. It doesn't work with, it's not proven scientifically. Those are not mutually exclusive. Something can work, and just not having been run through statistical studies. So those are two different questions. Whether it's an effective treatment or not, that's something we need to find out today.
Right. Well, that's not even my point. That's why I always say, you know, freedom's the answer, what's the question? Do I have the freedom to ingest and put freaking Clorox in my nose if I want to? I mean, you know, this is, and that's what it comes down to. You need a central plan of, you're not allowed of, we got a decision for you. You know, and this is what you were writing about. This is the very thing, you know, the right to try. You know, this is a Goldwater thing. There, you know, the right to try. You know, so tell us about that.
Well, essentially, in normal times, before we get to the COVID-19 outbreak, what we had is we had people that were dying of diseases. I mean, cancer kills roughly a half million people every year in this country. So if you're in stage four cancer, there are no, and for a particular, for certain types of cancer, there is no treatment available. It's basically, you know, tell your loved ones goodbye, we'll hook you up to an IV tube, and you're going to die pretty soon. What Right to Try says is if you've got a medication that is in development, it's been proven safe, there's good reason to think that it's going to be effective, but it hasn't gone through the bureaucracy and paperwork of the FDA, let's allow people to start using that treatment because it might save their lives. It might not, but let's find out. Regulatory paperwork doesn't really determine whether this drug is going to save someone or not. And that's just the concept of Right to Try, is rather than wait 5 years for the FDA to go through its paperwork and approve this medication, let's start treating patients with it and monitor them and get some real-world information on them. Because they're going to, because 5 years from now, you know,
we're still recording, but we're in break right now. Just FYI, go ahead.
Oh, okay.
No, keep going. We got, oh, you know, hell, most of the audience is, you know, freaking later anyway, so, you know, whatever.
The idea is if you've got a drug today that is effective, and it's going to be 5 years before the FDA gives you final approval so you can use it, there's going to be a lot of people dying in that interim 5 years.
Ultimately,
it doesn't change the fact of whether that medication works or not.
Well, I'm not even looking at whether it does or doesn't, or anecdotal or kind of, you know, I'm just, you know, I don't even have to do the mental gymnastics to justify that kind of, it's freaking my body. I want to try something. I don't want to have forced inoculations. You know, out of this whole thing is going to come Bill Gates screaming, we're going to have a coronavirus vaccine, and damn it, you're at the checkpoint, you're going to get on the quarantine FEMA bus, or you're going to get your damn shot. That's what's coming. And I'm just like, we've been doing, we're doing our third vaccine education summit in Manchester on Sunday, June 7th. And we've done two here in the Valley at the Sheridan Crescent where we do our freedom summits. And the first one was in 16, and I'm going, I had a woman on, Dr. Judy Mikovits, that they went after big time. She wrote a book called Plague, and another one's just coming out this next month called Plague of Corruption. And it's all on the CDC and the FDA and all that. And to me, it was real obvious what was happening. There was enormous financial incentives for Big Pharma to be mandating all this stuff and knowing that it's making people sick because they make bank on the back end. And I'm going, do I have the freedom? Yeah, fine. You can convince everybody, fine. But I don't want to. I vote no. I have 12 grandkids, you know, all my kids, grandkids, not vaccinated. You know, the ones that, well, I have some step-grandchildren may have been. But, you know, of the 9 of my grandchildren, they have not been vaccinated. They're the healthiest kids in their classes, and they're fine. So I want the freedom to not. Well, what's the argument? I can hear Mark Flatton from back in the day. But what about, you know, the Navy to protect Texaco's oil tankers or something? I mean, you know, so I'm going...
No, I still remember that question, Ernie.
You know, I'm like, oh, get the Exxon Valdez's own freaking guns. I mean, what the hell? Why am I paying for this cheap oil, you know, that I got to spend $150-something dollars a barrel in military crap to go in the middle? I mean, it's not making sense. So I just want the freedom to make my own choices. Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You can't, Mark, I'm telling you, you cannot come up with a single freaking whatever scenario that I'm not going to, sounds like you need more freedom. And you're at the Goldwater Institute. And I'm going, come on. You know, aren't they advocating for some freedom and choices and stuff? And then what's Ducey doing? And why? You know, I remember, you know, Jan Brewer got all in on the H1N1 stuff and the TARP and got her money. What kind of money are they promising Arizona from this, you know, TARP do? I mean, you know, what's coming our way? Are we getting a bunch of money? Are we getting money? Or, you know, we got money?
I assume money is flowing everywhere.
No,
everywhere
big time.
It can flow.
Yeah, go get some. We're going to get some. And what about have you guys done on pensions? You know, I was just waiting, there is no way they're coming out of this. This is when it goes just a little blip of something and the stock market goes. So what do? They got to pump it back up. At some point, it's not going to work. And I think this is like their last hurrah. Well, what say you, Mark?
You're talking over my head here, Ernie.
Economics, man, always going to come down to economics. And the big thing is just freedom. And I just want the choice to not have to, or to can if I want. To me, it's the same thing. You know? All right, here we go. And we're back. We blew through the break because, you know, I'm yakking with Mark. All right. So Mark Flatton is an investigative reporter that I've known for 30 years here in Arizona. He covered a lot of Arizona politics and so on. And now he's over at the Goldwater Institute doing research for them. And, yeah, Matt had problems with his computer. He couldn't come on, and Naomi dropped off. So it's me and Mark, which is who I want to talk to anyway. So what we're going to do is project into the future. You know, let's see what we think is going to happen. The culture in Arizona compared to other states is what, do you think? What makes us unique or different, or are we?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, the virus hasn't hit us as hard as it has hit New York, and so it's hard to say what the reaction response is going to be unless and until it does. You know, the governor has done the emergency orders. Clearly, our, you know, bars and restaurants are basically closed. But you know, I'm sure if the death toll here was in the thousands instead of in the dozens, we might be reacting a little differently than we're acting now. But you know, I still go to the grocery store. I still go to the hardware store, and I see people out and about. So there's certainly no panic. I think people are taking it seriously. I think people understand that this is a very destructive disease. But I think they're acting in a pretty calm manner.
Until when?
Until they don't, I suppose.
Until they don't.
You know,
that's exactly the right answer. Until they don't. You know, when they start really getting draconian, it's already getting that way. I think because Arizona, a lot of places, citizen journalism is really a taken off thing, which is one thing that we were, you know, hammering on back in the night. I'm going, I don't care how many barrels of ink you do to paper. That's not going to make any difference anymore. There's going to be somebody with a blog. A blog? What's that? I mean, it's different now. So I see citizen journalists are going to be going out with their video cameras, and they're just going to go to the hospital. Okay, well, show me, you know, the lines of coughing up blood, people, where? You know, it's going to happen. I guarantee it. And it's going to be, they're going to be coding for whatever's in their best interest, for whatever money they get, whatever political decision. But what's happened? Shut down. Going after people that are gathering in groups of more than. Peaceful assembly. That Constitution doesn't mean anything anymore. They can love bus across the country and you're not allowed. You know, I'm going, this is, and they didn't put a boot on the ground. Took over America's economy and just flushed it. In one swoop, I find this amazing. And what's going to come after that? we have we cover a lot of technology, you know, how it empowers the individual, decentralizes down to the individual, and communication and power and shelter and what. And one of the things of this Love Bus, it's all about property rights. I go, do I own myself? Can I do what I want, get what I want, or not be forced to take, you know, vaccines, that kind of thing? The other thing is, if it pleases the crown, may I occupy my own land? They go, no, you can put your tent up in front of City Hall, but if you put it on your own land, you don't get an occupancy permit, you're going to jail, some bitch. You know, you're so freaking not allowed without a permission slip. And I'm going, when did that happen in America? Well, we're starting to, you know, get some answers and all that. The paradigm of the people, the general public opinion, is going to dramatically shift. And I don't think, now they may have control and they're going to mandate and all of whatever they're going to do, but when the people just go, nah, I'm not feeling it, that's when things change. And that's what's coming. And I'm wondering what your position on this is, or what you're covering. What are you looking at?
Well, I've been looking at impediments to the reaction. Generally, the issue of where's the government in the way? What is impeding a?
Where aren't they?
Well, again, the chloroquine example is a good one. The FDA, even though these drugs have been on the market for decades, the chloroquine goes back pre-World War II days, so we know the safety profile. We know what the risks are, which they're fairly minimal for most people. The other one is Z-Pak, which is a low-grade antibiotic. I've taken it a dozen times for sinus infections. So we know what these drugs are. We know what their side effects are. We have a real good safety profile. And yet, when people start talking about, hey, there's potential here, we get a lot of pushback of, well, you can't do that because they're not approved. Well, and that sounds very definitive. They're not approved. No one's ever proved that these drugs work on COVID-19. Well, they're not going to prove that for another 4 or 5 years through statistical controlled trials. What we need now is answers now. We've got to focus on what's going to work in the real world. We don't know yet whether these are the most effective treatment to COVID-19. We can't wait 5 years to find that out. So the idea is, which they finally started doing as of last weekend, is let's start treating patients in the real world. We can monitor them there. We can collect data while we're administering treatments to people. We don't have to wait until the end of these statistically controlled studies to find out if these drugs are going to work. Let's do that today.
What a concept. You know, when this first started happening, I go, there may be something there. I'm never thinking that, you know, government's going to let a good crisis go to waste, or if they need to, they'll create one. I mean, you know, I think. So I take it seriously. I got an oxygen generator, $350 on Amazon, boom, you know, 6 liters of milk. All right, what are they going to do for me at the hospital that's not going to have beds when it gets bad? So what are they going to do? They're going to give you oxygen so you don't have organ failure. They're going to give you, you know, that. So, and then I got a little $20 sensor saturation oxygen level of on my finger thing. Yeah, okay, I got that. Then they're going to do IV. Oh, I got friends and nurses and doctors kind of, you know, and I got to learn how to do an IV now, you know. So I'm going, all right, and some vitamin C and some, you know, mushroom of whatever the heck, so the replication of the virus, blah, 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 blah. I take it seriously. Now I'm ready. I'm doing everything that I can to make sure my family's safe. We, you know, have enough food to, you know, crazy Ernie's got enough that now when I go on this tour, all my 4 kids and families, they got plenty of food, you know, ha, ha, ha. Oh, Donna, my wife, she goes into the attic with the grandkids pulling stuff out, found 208 rolls of toilet paper from H1N1. I go, woohoo, and tampons. All menstruating women must come to me. I'm going, because I'd make fun of it on the show. I'm going, look, what will people value? Well, now we know Purell goes for $40 a bottle, and it's ethyl alcohol. It's moonshine. Are you freaking kidding me? I'm just like, so this is going to be a great education for a lot of people. So I see the silver lining. I'm not just totally dismissing it. I want to take, you know, advantage of the opportunity of being such a rich, semi-free country that we can have these opportunities. But I remember in the 90s, they were trying to do away with supplements. You know, this, what was it? Codex Alimentarius or whatever, you know, like they're doing in Europe. Vitamin C by prescription and stuff. Freedom is the answer to me. And every one of these, I'm not feeling the freedom, and they're going to come after our money, and certainly the devaluation of whatever we have. So I'm wondering if Arizona, you feel Arizona, and do you travel much? You have friends around the country, other reporters you talk to, your research. Is Arizona still kind of unique, or are we starting to just get in with the herd?
Well, Arizona, I think, has responded locally as opposed to nationally. Again, if you've got an outbreak in New York City, a quarantine in Arizona doesn't necessarily make any sense. And that's pretty much what you've seen around the country. Particularly different governors at the state level are implementing a lot of these things in different phases and at different times. And honestly, that's exactly the way things are supposed to work under the Constitution. It's not supposed to be a one size fits all. We've got a crisis in New York, so we need to shut the whole country down. And we need to take the exact same measures in Laramie, Wyoming, that we take in New York City. That's not the way this country was set up. The way the country was set up is primarily responses to emergencies, including public health emergencies, is a state and local issue.
You know, when we come back, we'll get into, you know, the legislature here now. Are they even meeting? What are they doing? How are they addressing this? What about the money? You know, where are resources going? Do we even know? Where do we look to find out the answers? You know, Mark, you know, I'm like, all right, Mark, go find out for me, man. You know, I want to know what's up. And the big thing that he's focused on has been what? Access to healing medicines. Should you have that freedom? We'll be right back.
Movement. Your first call should be.
This is, we had a party a week ago Saturday. And it was it was kind of the final party. Hancock, we've been here, you know, 10 years. We have like a 2-acre property up in Sunburst Farms, you know, 51st Avenue and Greenway up there. You know, anyway, we have like a little 2-acre thing here. And we've been here like 10 years. And we used to have a studio downtown. I had a home downtown and a studio, and we kind of combined it up here. We had the studio and the barn, the activists and sign making and silk screening and printing and all kinds of crap that we do. So we had a lot of parties here and so on. This is the last party, Hancock final, you know, woohoo party. We might have a bus launch thing or something if we're loud, not that I care. But Ernie, are you going to cancel the party? And I was back east in Maine. I get on the plane. I'm one of 6 passengers to Newark on a 737, one of 24 passengers from there. Donna just told me my leg, I'm going back tonight to back there to finish the bus and pick it up. And we're bringing it back. And then I keep having canceled flights all the time, you know. So now it looks like I can get to Philadelphia, and then they had to rebook, you know, for the next day to kind of. So it's just constant. They're trying to. I think it's just volume. They're trying to consolidate and have like some passengers, you know, or something. So it's like America got shut down. It's like we're at a war, you know. It was just, but they didn't slow any spending. You know, they're still, hell, teachers are still getting paid, you know, and then the families are, you know, having to take off work, or they close the daycares, and they're keeping the kid. I mean, this is hardship on hardship on hardship, and I'm wondering how the people will respond. They'll respond as they always do, and what they perceive to be their own self-interest. The kids, you know, my grandchildren, they're getting all kind of lesson in how to grow this and do that and whatever. They're having fun, and then they got their Google Classroom or whatever they're doing, where their permanent record of in their brain of how they write, and it's all going to the man. You know, I'm going, wow, I need the man getting in my kids' heads now. Yay! This is the dystopian, libertarian, freaking fantasy dystopian land. I'm just going, neon, I told you so, and all this stuff. Eh, crazy Ernie. Yeah, but there's a good reason now, Ernie. There's a good reason. You can feel me. So these guys, when they come to the party, and a lot of them, the doctors, the lawyers, the dentists, and so on, a lot of the professional guys, they came, and it was obvious towards the end of the party why they came. Is this it, Ernie? Is this it? You know, because all the stuff, I go, well, there's going to be a collapse of this, the currency's going to that, they're da 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 da. And over the past few months, this first quarter, they have been struggling. you know. And then when they shut down everything, you know, doctors, elective surgeries, cosmetic, your lawyer, every shut down. And they cannot afford to keep their business in place, pay their employees, so they're shutting down. Every one of them, they go, I can't do this. I will spend all my money. I'll go bankrupt. They want me to take out a loan that I got to pay back for no product. We're done. I got enough that I can sell. I'm sorry to all my employees, but I got a house, you know, down in the Gulf of Mexico, and peace out, and I'm going to Rocky Point. I mean, you know, whatever. So I'm going, not that I go there, but, you know, I'm just, wow. This thing is shutting down. It will not be the same. It's not just going to start back up. I mean, what do you think's going to happen?
You know, I don't know. I don't think anybody's going to know for, you know, until this thing is over. I mean, we're not going to know if we overreacted or underreacted. You know, if this thing turns out to be, you know.
All right, here we're coming back. Let's talk about it.
Visit the Liberty Radio Network program guide to find out at shows.lrn.fm. That's shows.lrn.fm.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Propaganda. If you want to fool the folks, it comes in handy. If you want to tell some lies, pull the wool over their eyes, you can do it with propaganda.
Propaganda. You can liberate the babies from their candy. Yep. It's so easy. It's a sin. You know, I'm seeing it. It's been, am I right? Have I been, you know, just, I mean, you're always, you know, a broken clock's right, you know, a couple times a day. I mean, that kind of, you know, you had to wait 30 years, Ernie. I'm going, I don't know, man, this has been going on. This has been neon flashing obvious of what's been happening forever. It's so predictable. How did you know? I'm like, how did you not know? What the hell were you guys paying attention to? So I need to know, are you paying attention to the legislature and their budget and the pensions and the city pensions and all this debt and everything? Is that crossing your radar screen at all?
Not particularly. I know the legislature in Arizona has essentially suspended its session. They've just kind of got a carry forward budget going. I know one of the discussions that's going on when they start talking about this, whatever phase we're in on another federal bill, I know that there's a lot of talk among some, particularly from big cities, of you know, relieving these public pensions. Which were tanking before.
Yeah, relieving. What does that mean?
I mean, I guess that's what you got to stop and think. Is, you know, what are we doing to deal with the immediate impact of coronavirus, and how much versus how much are folks trying to use these bills to, you know, essentially do things that are non-coronavirus related? We saw that in the previous legislation, and there's already, you know, people are already talking about how can we get some of this other stuff in. Whatever new legislation comes. And I know one of the things that folks from some of these big cities and some of these states that are having pension problems is, well, maybe we should get the federal government to bail out our pensions, which has nothing to do with COVID-19. You know, you look at Chicago and Illinois,
I say it has everything to do with it.
Public employee pensions were in the toilet before COVID-19. They're going to be in the toilet after COVID-19.
Well, I mean, I would think that some people know that when you just print up a bunch of this money, it makes it value less, worth less, to the point it's worthless. I mean, you know, it's that this, we need to get to something of tangible value. I mean, gold, silver, whatever. I mean, you can make all these Austrian economic, you know, predictions and Ron Paul going on about and whatever. We're just going to get to say, well, I told you so. What would you think it was? The Chinese did it? You know, and so this is coming. And I'm wondering if the Republic is going to survive. Do you think that they're, see, the suspension of the Constitution, suspension of habeas corpus has already happened. You know, a lot of people don't know that under certain circumstances, habeas corpus is eliminated in the Constitution. Yeah, we could do that. I'm going, really? Yeah, you're free until we say you're not. And I'm going, wow. So that's why this show is Declare Your Independence. The purpose, it says very clearly, the purpose of government is defense of individual rights. When it doesn't do that, it's time to alter or abolish. It's your right, your duty. Boom. I'm in. You know? So the Constitution, Bill of Rights, kind of whatever. I'm just like, The promise made Americans was that if you go with our program, we're going to protect your rights. And they're the ones taking them away. I don't know how that survives. I don't think it does. And I think people will start to act in their own self-interest, and they're just going to, their retirement's going to be valueless. They're going to print a gazillion more dollars, and even if they got, ooh, the stock market's at, you know, 30,000. Well, so what? It bought you a loaf of bread. You know, I'm seeing it unravel before my eyes, and I'm not happy about it. But the reason for Freedom's Phoenix, the logo, the whole point of that was that Freedom's Phoenix from the ashes of Lady Liberty's torch. That's what that was all about. I go, there will be the ashes, and then Freedom's Phoenix will come. That's what we're going to see, and that's what I was preparing for my grandchildren. This is, so our LaBus Liberty Tour is going to be emphasizing all this stuff and inspiring. There's things that you can do. What are you doing at a personal level? I mean, you got food? I mean, you know, what are you planning on for yourself, Mark?
Well, we've got food. Unfortunately, you know, in a panic situation, when everybody else acts stupid, you kind of have to act stupid.
Yeah.
So, when the whole panic began on the search for toilet paper, I thought, I'm not going to act like an idiot and run out and buy, you know, 10 packages of Costco toilet paper. But then you go to the store shelves and there's no toilet paper. So when everybody else acts like an idiot, you're kind of forced to act like an idiot. It just at the personal level. You go to the grocery store and there are whole shelves that are empty. And so, you know, if you see a bag of rice, you buy it just because, you know, I've seen a bag of rice for a long time.
You know how we wound up with 11 poly barrels full of food was every time they pissed me off, I went and bought another 50 pounds of beans. I went and got
it. You're always pissed off.
So I have 11 barrels of food.
So you must have a lot of barrels of beans there.
Well, we did a lot of things, canned, you know, whatever. But I feel comfortable. I'm not putting it on the bus. So I got all my kids. I'm like, all right, we're divvying it up. You know, here you go. And they're like, woohoo. So Donna, when this all happened, she goes, I don't think we need to get anything. I go, that was the point. You know, we're good. You know, it didn't cost that much. And now it's like, well, you're not going to be able to eat your silver. And I go, you're right. I don't get the silver till after I get the food. So it's it didn't cost that much. It's not that. That's not the point. It's a mindset. We had so much faith in our government, and I didn't. You know, I mean, I don't get all freaked out. You know me, I always having fun about it. If you're not having fun, you're doing it wrong. But that doesn't mean that you don't need to do something. And I'm just wondering if the Goldwater Institute and you and the Arizona legislature and everything, they're advocating for any preparation? I mean, do they believe, or are they just waiting on the federal government to give them a bailout?
No, but Ernie, I mean, there's a difference between acting skeptical and acting stupid. I mean, no, I'm not going to go seek out a large crowd. I'm not going to go to a spring break party in Miami Beach. I'm not going to go to Mardi Gras. I mean, you can be skeptical. You can ask yourself, I mean, is all this really necessary? But that doesn't mean you have to be stupid about it. I mean, it sounds like you whether you believe the government or not, you've taken precautions and stuff.
Yeah,
like
I get my oxygen generator. I get my medicine. I'm not being an idiot.
The reality is people just don't know yet. We're not going to know for a long time. We're not going to know how severe this is. We're not going to know how many people are infected. We're not going to know how many people died because of this virus or died with this virus, which are not necessarily the same thing. So in any public health emergency, you can debate whether it's an emergency or not. A lot of times you don't have the answers in real time.
No, you find out later. Last week they dropped the news that, oh yeah, we found the study of Building 7 was probably demolition. And amongst all this stuff, they finally come out, yeah, that Building 7, you know, is probably demolition. And I'm like, oh yeah, now. And how was it, 20 years later? You know, I'm getting the truth finally. 9/11 commission report didn't even mention Building 7. Hell, do you even know there was a Building 7? I mean, you know, it's so full of lies. You cannot have an empire of lies sustain itself. It just can't. So my whole concept, and you can go about the fourth turning and this and that and the inevitability of the math of whatever the hell, but it all comes down to general public opinion. That's been, you want to know the secret to everything that I do has been to get an infect and a splinter in the cortex for general public opinion. That's all that I do. I don't care what the judge says. I just want him to say it. I don't care what the legislature votes. I just want him to go on record. I don't give a crap what the stories we put up and Washington Post said. Don't care. You know, I just want to have the record there. So, and that's why we do IPFS and permanent record of everything. So I'm looking forward. You know, I'm hoping that in the future, it'll be months later, I'll be on the road. But I'm like, you know, I care about Arizona. I got all my grandkids and family here. You know, I'm hopefully as this goes on that you'll make yourself available to tell us what's happening. I mean, do you spend time at the legislature at all?
No, not very much.
So you're focusing on the FDA and the approval and drugs?
Well,
and
I do now. I mean, just the nature of my position does not require me to be at the legislature.
You miss it? Are you disappointed?
No.
It's what happened to the Senate press room? Do they even have it anymore? Is there
they shut that down years ago when I was still down there. Apparently they decided they didn't like the media so close to them.
You could come on, Mark. You can understand my position here. You can see my perspective a little bit. You know me a while. There's a lot of evidence kind of feeds into my position. You know what I mean?
Well, sure, Ernie, but it's the same old question. When you don't know the answers, and you think you do, what if you're wrong? And in a situation like this, you may be entirely right, Ernie, that this is just being overblown. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't take precautions, and that doesn't mean you shouldn't, at a personal level, do things that make sense, and that might mean.
One of the precautions to me is not believing everything the shiny badge says. I mean, that's a precaution.
And yet you've got barrels of beans in your basement.
Because I don't believe what they say. There was a direct correlation. I guarantee it. We have chickens. We got like 60 chickens. We got to get rid of them as we're passing them out to whatever. I love chickens. We did the turkeys and goats and aquaponics and all this kind of, we practiced everything and we'd share it with the audience what we learned, kind of like, video channels of whatever. But if I had to pick number one thing, it would be chickens. They are so freaking easy. They eat all your scraps and you get quality stuff. I'm like, that's awesome. I feel like John Boy Walton, man. Depression, what's that? So it's there, but I need to get out of the city. That's why we're doing this, because I think Arizona land prices, again, is going to take a dump, and I'm going to be able to buy what I want where I want. My silver is going to go up. We're going to pay off all or whatever, and we're going to take advantage of the downturn, and people are going to, you cheated. You deliberately ducked or whatever, and this is what we've been planning on. When Donna and I first started this, I was saying 2016, by the time our children are our age then, which was 2016 around, I go, I already know what's coming. It's going to be there, the Social Security is going to be gone, the money is going to be raided, and freedom is going to be passed, and remember the good old days. But once 16 hit, I didn't know what the hell was going to happen after that. I go, I have no idea how this plays out. It's not going to be good. Well, it hasn't been good. And Trump's not going to be, saving that. Everybody's, I'm waiting for the fifth dimensional chess of the move if everybody gets arrested. You waiting on that? You feeling it coming? Q and the Anon's going to fix us? Is that coming, you think? No?
I don't know, Ernie. I just don't know.
I don't know.
I don't pretend to have all the answers.
Well, I do. Freedom's the answer. What's a freaking question? You want to know the answer? That's Ernie right there. Give me the options. Give me the freedom, which is what you've been advocating on this, right to try drug kind of let me, what's my body thing. And I say that for everything. Why do I got to have a permission slip from the Crown to build on my own land? I don't need to camp out on the sidewalk and you forced to wash off my crap. I mean, it's just messed up. The incentives are all screwed up. There's something else going on, and I don't care. It's just general public opinion to leave me aloneism. I'm a leave me aloneist. Let's do it. Arizona has been, you know, a lot better than most, and I hate to see it go down the dark path, but I'm glad you're there. I know you're paying attention, you know, and hopefully you'll come on in the future and kind of things happen. I'll be tapping on you to come out and tell me all about it.
Fair enough for me.
That was wrong. That was wrong. I did it wrong.
Fair enough.
All right. Thanks for coming on, Mark.
Thank you.
Peace, brother. Bye.
Take care.